I would like to read tonight in the book of the Acts, first in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now further down to verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now over to chapter 24. And verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now chapter 13. Verse 37. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now a final reading in chapter 8. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, that is the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. And that's all we'll read. We trust the Lord that a blessing to the reading of his word. I would like to speak tonight on something very simple. The gospel. The gospel is good news. It's good news from a far country to a thirsty soul, as water is to a thirsty soul. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now from the book of the Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the gospel for the first time, after the Spirit of God came and indwelt men, he stood forth with the 11 and he preached the gospel. He preached Christ. The word reached the hearts and consciences of those that heard it. And that's the purpose of our gathering here tonight. That the gospel that we preach, that it might be guided by the Spirit of God. Not in eloquence. We couldn't do that. We haven't got the ability. But we trust God by His Spirit will prick your conscience that you might be convicted of your sin and need of salvation. We read from Acts chapter 24. We learn that the preaching of the gospel is a message of warning. Paul, with his two for an audience, he warned them faithfully of righteousness, the righteous ways and acts of God against sin, temperance, his responsibility, and his self-control in relation to God's claims, and then judgment to come. No doubt, the great white throne judgment. The message went home to Felix's heart and conscience. And the man began to tremble. And well he might. For every person that misses Christ and that sets aside the gospel, they will stand at the judgment bar of God. And when Felix thought of it, a message of warning, telling him of the outcome of his sin and their consequences. And yet, he evaded the great issue by putting it off for the present time until another time that would suit him. Now I'm sure there are those in this meeting tonight, and perhaps the gospel has touched your heart, and the thought ever is in your mind, well, I would like to be saved. But yet, then came the devil. And just as Felix thought, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Did you ever experience that in a meeting such as this? We read from Acts chapter 13. The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ, is for the forgiveness of sins. Now there is no greater blessing that any man or woman, boy or girl could ever have than the knowledge of sins all forgiven. That is a clear sheet. For when God saves a sinner, it's not half done. When God blots out sin, He puts them behind His back and remembers them no more forever. How is the forgiveness of sins to be obtained? Through this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, that all who believe, and that doesn't leave anyone out, every person that believes the message, they can have the knowledge of sins all forgiven. We read in Acts chapter 8, here's a man traveled a long way for the worship, was returning back home again, as empty as he went, but he had received a copy of the scriptures, and he was reading them in his chariot. Philip drew near, understandest thou what thou readest? He says, how can I except some man should guide me? Many people read the Bible. They don't understand what they read. They don't believe what they read. The Bible clearly states, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. They try to figure this out. Well, I believe in the Son. How come I don't have everlasting life? My friend, when a person comes to see their great need of salvation, whenever they're at the end of their own ropes, their own resources, when they have no place else to go, and hell looms in the right ahead, then they will take God's remedy for their sin, the reception, the receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What was the result of the preaching of the gospel in Acts chapter 8? Here's a man went on his way rejoicing. Every person is saved in this meeting tonight. We can look back to that moment when Christ was revealed to us as our Savior. My friend, for almost 43 years, my rejoicing started not long ago. It hasn't ceased. And if this book is true, and I know it's true, it will never cease for eternity. Rejoicing in God's beloved Son, he went on his way, rejoicing. Maybe you've come to this meeting tonight. Many things are bothering you, and you would like to have the load lifted. Well, burdens are lifted at Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood for the cleansing of your sin. Now, when Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, he didn't mince his words. He charged his audience with the murder of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That message went right home to their hearts, went right home to their consciences, and it registered. And they realized, we're the ones that have sinned against God. We have murdered His Son. Then they became alarmed. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? We like to hear a sinner out of an honest heart desiring to know how to be saved and how to know that they are saved. These men said, and women, men and brethren, what shall we do? But the word of God reached their conscience and they got located. That is, they found out that they were sinners and had sinned against God. Let us ask each one kindly in our meeting tonight, have you ever made that great discovery? My friend, that you have sinned, and that you have sinned against God. You may have sinned against your fellow man, but all sin is against God. Romans 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, death is passed upon all men, because that all have sinned. Not one is left out. We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by practice. These people that registered in their hearts, they were stoned. That is, it bothered them that they had done such an act. And they says, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Own up to your sin. That's the last thing a person wants to admit. You and I can see sin in others. Like Luke chapter 7, Simon the Pharisee, he saw the woman that came to anoint the feet of the Lord Jesus. That woman's a sinner. The crowd in chapter 19 of Luke, they looked at Zacchaeus, and they said the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. They could see him a sinner, but they didn't see themselves sinners. If you're ever going to get blessing from God, the blessing of salvation, this is something that you need to know, that you have sinned and that you are a sinner in dire need of salvation. We trust God by His Spirit tonight will prick your conscience that you may be bothered, for you get the blessing of God if you're willing to repent and own up to your own sin. About 3,000 people believed the message and they got God's salvation. Wouldn't it be a grand meeting tonight? 3,000? Why, if one poor sinner would simply close in with God's offer of mercy and our company here tonight, it'd be well worthwhile coming to this place. We read in chapter 24 of Felix. He was a judge. And it says he sent for Paul. He wanted to hear concerning the faith in Christ. But this interview took a different course than what he had thought. He was expecting to get a bribe. He wanted some of Paul's friends, perhaps, to pay him to let Paul go. But that, it didn't work out that way. Paul had a message from God for this man and his wife. And as he reasoned about it, a message of warning, Felix trembled. He trembled at the thought of meeting God. Did you ever tremble after being warned of God? At the thought of meeting God in your sins without Christ as your Savior? My friend, God is warning you again tonight. God is putting the gospel in your way to stop you from going down to hell. But if you don't pay heed to the warning and go on in your sins and perish eternally, what a tragedy. Nothing worse could happen to a precious soul bound for eternity. A few years ago in Northern Ireland, a nephew of mine, he was on the Ulster Defence Regiment. When he joined that force, he was told, and they're all told, they're warned faithfully, never to answer the door. No matter what time of the day or night, someone knocks on your door or rings the bell, they are told not to answer it. Let the son or daughter answer it, or the wife, but not the man that's in the UDR. My nephew one Friday night, careless, after having been warned, a knock came to the door at 6 o'clock. His wife was back in the kitchen. Nothing to do, but he thought he would open it. He went and he opened the door. He was met with 6 bullets. He staggered back. His wife ran when she heard the shots. Caught him before he slumped onto the floor. But he was in eternity. Why? Because he wasn't warned? No. There are souls in hell tonight. They were faithfully warned. Friend, have you been faithfully warned? Warned of judgment to come? Felix was warned faithfully of where he would be in eternity. He would stand at the judgment bar of God. Paul was at his judgment. He was the governor. He had the authority of the times in relation to Paul to keep him bound. But yet, after desiring to hear the word of God, he was distracted. His wife was with him, perhaps a hindrance to him getting saved. You know, souls, when they hear the gospel, and they would like to be saved, there's always the distraction. There's always something that comes in between the sinner and Christ. But my friend, when a person puts all to one side and they desire nothing else but God's great salvation, that's the thing in a soul that God will reveal to that person Christ as their personal Savior. I look back to a night in my life. I sat in a gospel meeting. God, by His Spirit, had been bothering me, and I was trying to fight it off. There was a struggle within my breast. I wanted to be saved, and I'd like to have been saved then, but there were other things that I desired. There were other things that I'd like to have had as well, and that struggle went on for weeks. One night, one Wednesday night, December the 13th, 1950, a man preached from Luke chapter 16. I sat in the back seat of that building. The word of God went right home to my soul. As I sat in that seat, I thought of myself being engulfed in eternal flame. I knew that's where I was going. I knew that's where I deserved to be. And here I was, struggling against it, wanting it, yet fighting against it. I believe there's some in the meeting tonight. And really deep down you would like to be saved. There are other things pulling. Mark chapter 10, the rich young ruler, one thing, only one, kept him out of God's heaven. His love for his possessions. Friend, tonight one thing could keep you out of God's heaven. Only one thing. I believe that one thing will haunt the sinner that misses Christ throughout eternal ages. That one thing that they sold their soul for. Judas Iscariot sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. How cheap. No matter what it is that may be hindering you from Christ, friend, it's not worth it. Count the cost as you balance on the edge of eternity. Could lose your soul at any moment and drop into hell to be there forever. God wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. He has done everything possible that you might be saved. Thursday night came, December the 14th. I don't remember a word the preacher said, but I went home after that meeting and I says, I'm not going to bed tonight until I get saved. Did you ever say that? Well, I read the Bible till 10 o'clock. And I tried verses. Didn't work. I thought I'll just go down to the pool room and forget about salvation. I've heard so much gospel. You see, the more gospel that you hear, it doesn't get any easier. It seems to get darker. I knew the stories of the Bible well, brought up in it. 6 months, 1 year, I sat in gospel meetings, the whole 6 months. Tired, yes, but not saved. Well, I gave up at 10 o'clock. I went down to the pool room. Two of my chums were playing pool. And as I watched them, I just missed the last game by 2 minutes. And they said, Bingham, you're not going to play. Because I was too late. If I'd been there 2 minutes before, it was my turn. But as I stood looking at the balls on the table, the thought struck me. Here you are, Bingham. What is it going to be? Christ and salvation and heaven. Your pleasures and sins and hell. What is it? I made a choice in that spot. That was for eternity. I said, if God is salvation for me, I've got to get it. Were you ever there? You would like to be saved? Were you ever down to business? I got the Bible again. I remember the preacher said, read Romans 4. I read Romans 4. And I got the picture. I said, all I need is faith. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. But how do you get it? I didn't know. There's two things required for salvation. One is knowledge. Not university knowledge. What's the knowledge you need? Christ died for my sins. The other is faith. Faith and simplicity to believe it and accept him as your substitute and as your savior. About 20 minutes to 12, I give up again. I says I've missed salvation. I'll just have to go on down into hell. And I trembled when I thought of it. Missing salvation. Friend, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, there's a great possibility you could miss salvation. Don't you think that God is under any obligation to save you? He has no obligation in that respect. He wants to save you. He's done all that you can be saved. Christ has died. Why did he die? My Bible lay open at John chapter 3. I've been trying verse 16. And I tried it and tried it. And it didn't work. When I came to that point, I'm lost. I'll just have to go to hell. My Bible lay open at John 3 and I read verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, my mind went back to school days, to boyhood days in Sunday school. I remember a man bringing a pole with a piece of brass round it to represent that brazen serpent. And he told us the message of the gospel. And I heard it preached so many times. I knew that brazen serpent was lifted up because Israel had sinned. Even so must. My mind was taken from the brazen serpent to the person of Christ. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For the first time in my life, I saw the truth. Christ was lifted up upon the cross for my sin. I read verse 15. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In my simplicity, I took God at his word that Christ died for me, and I got the assurance that whosoever believes him live eternal life. That's a moment I'll never forget. I get down and thank God for giving his son for me. We trust, friend, that tonight, warned of God, that you won't miss Christ tonight.